This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
The Yankees are extremely frustrating.
They're the favorites to win the American League. You shouldn't have to rely on all these extra motivational things.
They're not overly athletic.
Even if they do make the playoffs, which some people look good, it's the same thing. In the playoffs, they try to hit home runs. It doesn't work.
They don't steal bases.
They can't get hits. They don't get timely hits.
They don't run the bases well. They don't string together hits.
I don't know where this team is going to go to find the leadership, to find the motivation, to get things turned around, but that's clearly an issue with this club right now.
This is DCR.
Be professional. Go out there and win the games you're supposed to win.
On 98.7 ESPN.
What is this, the X-Files theme? People are very upset, Chris, with you and I on Twitter that we don't believe in UFOs.
Is that right?
Yeah, very upset. One guy tweeted me, "I'm not listening to the show anymore because you discounted alien life form." I'm sorry.
Yeah, but don't punish me. Why is he? Who is that? Why are they punishing me? I believe. Don't punish me.
That's true.
He doesn't listen to the show. He punishes me too. God, I hope I hope at some point.
What? I get kidnapped by like aliens or something?
You get abducted by aliens? Yeah.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
I would love it. Absolutely love it. And they
probe
you.
What happened if they took me and I came back and I was a completely different person?
I don't think you'd be that. I mean, they would study you. They would probably be. I mean, just like we do. I mean, we'd be like.
They'd be amazed by me.
They would start asking
me questions. Where did Rick Fox go to college?
They would keep you because you'd be the entertainment. You can ask this guy anything about sports.
I don't know about that, Rico. All they have to do is put on a Giants game, and then not only are they going to ship Dave back to Earth, but they're going to abandon their plans for our universe altogether.
Yeah,
no shot they'd come back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want to see Dave. They would underestimate Dave because they'd be like, "Oh, look at this guy. He's so doughy and cute." And then all of a sudden, like, Dave would realize that he's missing a Giants game, and all hell would break loose.
Could you imagine if they came down like 11 o'clock on a football Sunday and took me? Oh,
you know what it'd be like? It'd be like when you were on the cruise ship, and you're like, "I'm telling you people right now, if you don't put this game on immediately, I'm getting naked and I'm running around the ship."
I was so angry because I called the cruise line before we went on the trip, and I said, "I just want to confirm that you have the NFL package and that I will be able to watch the Giants-Eagles game on Sunday night." It was an NBC game, and like, of course that game will be on. And then I'm at the sports bar, and it's 8 o'clock, and it's 8:05, and it's 8:10, and it's 8:15, and I start to become agitated, and I start to get nervous, and you could tell people are looking at me. And I finally nicely go up to the bartender. I said, "Listen, can you do me a favor? Can you turn the Giants Eagles game on?" No.
What? That always drives me crazy, though. Like, that's definitely happened to you guys before. I mean, not just on the cruise ship. Like, when you go to, a restaurant or whatever, and you're like, you'll be sitting by the bar. And you walk up like, "Hey, can you do me a favor? Like, this game is on." And no one's watching the TV. There's not one person watching
the TV. And they won't put it on for you?
And they won't put it on for you.
Or how about when they don't know how to do it? I can't tell you how many times I've been like, "Listen, do me a favor. Give me the remote. Let me take care of this." They don't know. I don't know that we get the YES Network. I've never heard of MSG. What channel would NBC be? You know what? Let me figure it out. Let me flip through every single channel you have and figure it out.
Yeah, I have no... Listen, I mean, there's... It's not that hard. Get the remote. Well, I'm going to have to ask my manager. Could you just please just do me a favor?
They're
I'm not asking.
Right
it's not.
There.
I didn't say put on some porn. Just could you put the game on? I just want to watch the Mets game. That's it.
Right. That's it. You don't need the sound. Give me the game. Oh, I was so angry. And I didn't know what to do. So I told him, I said, "If you do not put the Giants game on right now, I will start to take off clothing very slowly. And in 5 minutes, I will be naked and I will start running around the ship." I began the naked run in 2007.
I just don't understand why that's your default maneuver.
I didn't know what to do. Have you seen him naked? Yeah, it's not.
No, I haven't, and I don't ever want to.
But I didn't know what to do. What else could I have done? I mean, if I would have threatened something worse, they would have like locked me up.
Dave Rothenberg nudity makes me uncomfortable.
You can get locked up for public nudity, can't you?
I don't know.
I think you can.
But my favorite part of the story, of the entirety of the story, is when poor Sherry goes to the spa and she's waiting there, like, you know, she's down to the robe and she's waiting to get called in. And, like, the women are chatting at the spa, like, "Did you hear about the guy at the bar last night?" No. this guy threatened to get naked if they didn't put the Giants game on or like some football game on. And she's like, oh God. And she's like, that was my husband. Like, no, really, some lunatic man. He threatened to nudity if they didn't put the game on he won. And she's like, yeah.
Why?
That was my husband.
Well, that's how you know she loves you, Dave. The fact that she would claim you after you embarrassed her by pulling that stunt at the bar. I mean, got to give it up for her, man. She's a saint.
I didn't know what to do. I was so upset.
Because you felt like you got
bamboozled. Your first impulse is to get naked. Like, everything is your first impulse is to get naked. It doesn't make any sense to me.
What else am I going to do? I have a weapon. I can't do that. Like, you can't do stuff like that. I'll be thrown off the ship. I'll be put in international jail.
But Chris makes a good point. If you all of a sudden, if they don't put the game on and you strip down naked and you start running around butt naked, what do you think is going to happen to you?
You're going to go to jail.
You're going to get arrested.
I need definite help.
People are going to vomit. The whole ship is going to be a mess.
Yeah, they'd have to hose it down. The whole thing would be a mess.
But like, if something good happens, you get naked. If you're trying to threaten somebody, you're going to get naked.
Right.
I don't understand.
Put a red dot on the Rothenberg house. There's a guy that lives there that's going to get naked at any moment.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What were my alternative options? Like, what should I have done? I'm going to punch you in the head if you don't put the Giants game on? What do you want me to do? What would the appropriate rationale been behind what I should do next?
Ask for the manager, maybe?
That would be, yeah.
I was running out of time. I did not have time to start because he didn't care. Don't you get it? He didn't care. I said, can you please put the game on? And he said, no. So now I'm going to say, okay, excuse me. Could I have a word with the manager?
I don't know that anybody could care as much as you care about the Giants game. I don't think there's anybody that's out there that's a fan of the team that's more neurotic, more crazy than you are.
And then they asked me to leave. They said I was scaring the other patrons at the
bar. I wonder why.
You're
just starting to get naked because they wouldn't change a channel for you.
Watched the first quarter. No, because I watched the first quarter, and they're like, oh, can you please, you're disrupting everyone else's nice time. Can you please leave?
Which is probably, they probably could sense that this guy's a maniac. We can't have him in the bar just because he's going to lose his mind watching this game.
Yeah, it wasn't my finest moment, but they did
probably
win.
Should have just sent Sherry up. Sherry probably would have got it done immediately.
Can you please just turn the game on for him?
That's what she would have done. Please, can you please?
You don't know.
And she'd look at them with the face.
You have no idea how important it is that if you don't put this on, how badly things could go here.
Yeah, she's like, I know, I got to deal with it. I'm going to do you guys a solid, just let you know, please turn this on because it's going to get ugly.
It's in everyone's best interest if you turn the game on right now.
I'm supposed to be here with Jimmy Fallon or Rick Pitino, but unfortunately I get stuck with this.
That's true. You guys
understand.
That's true. Brendan
Fraser.
What
a list she's got.
Laundry list. Huh. Yeah. There was someone that I forgot. I think, did I
mention Who, Tom Cruise?
No.
Yeah, you mentioned Cusack. That was the first one I guessed. Cusack was one of the first ones I guessed.
But there was another person. She's like, you forgot this guy. I was like, oh my God, that guy too?
Oh, I remember you told me that too.
Aminu Muhammad, baby.
You gave me Frasier, Cusack, Fallon.
Clooney.
And then, and then apparently Pitino just does what he does at the park. He just pops
out of the trees.
He just pops up.
Hey, Rick Pitino here.
How funny would that be, though, Dave? How funny would it be if you were on your new fancy treadmill and you're running through Central Park and all of a sudden on the screen, Rick Pitino pops up?
He pops out. Hey, Dave, how you doing? All right, DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on DCR POV, the Goodyear Hotline. The Knicks lost last night. We started with it. Let's get back to it now. 800-919-3776. Listen, I could fake this. I'm heartbroken. It was an awful loss. I can't believe that they fell to Phoenix. Chris, I don't feel like that. I thought they played pretty well. I thought they played hard. I think Phoenix is a better team, and I thought they had a guy that made the big shots down the stretch last night in Chris Paul.
Yeah, Dave, I don't think there's any doubt that Phoenix is the better team. And last night was a game that Julius Randle didn't bring his A-plus stuff. Like, he just didn't have it in terms of him being the offensive player that we've seen him be for the majority of this season. And the Phoenix Suns, they had that in their star with Devin Booker, who dropped 20 in the first half. And then they had Chris Paul, who closed the show with three circus shots in the last minute and a half. So you give credit where credit is due. I mean, the Phoenix Suns were a better team, and they played better than you guys last night. I thought the Knicks came out with the right kind of energy. You saw that. They hit 18 of their first 25 shots. Reggie Bullock had a hell of a first quarter. The Knicks had it rolling. They built a double-digit lead early. Like, that's what you're supposed to do, playing against a team like the Suns, knowing that they were on the second night of a back-to-back and they had lost to Brooklyn the day before. So I just felt like the effort was there, the energy was there, but just the playmaking down the stretch, you know, the Phoenix Suns had more, and Chris Paul, their floor general, took care of business when he had to.
And David, I mean, it's not even that you're devastated. Because,
no.
I mean, how could you be devastated? They had won 9 straight. And, I mean, also Atlanta lost last night, so that's good for you. It was fun. You know what I mean? It was fun. It was exciting.
And
I
was
thought of all of a sudden winning
nice
10
too.
Straight. Yeah, but it just, and again, I mean, Phoenix is a really good team. Really good team. And they were right there, right to the very end. And unfortunately, later on in that game, you know, Cameron Johnson out of nowhere decides he's going to start hitting threes. He hits 3 big threes in the fourth. You know, Chris mentioned Chris Paul. Devin Booker had a really good game. Mikal Bridges hit big shots. And
that's a good team.
It's a good team, and your best player wasn't at his best. He wasn't. Julius Randle did not have one of his better games.
Nope, but I don't think there's any shame in losing that game. Let's go to Ethan and Howell. Ethan, you're next up on 98.7. What's up, bud?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How are we today?
We're doing good, Ethan. What's up?
All right, so just a quick general question. You know, I listened to the show. I've heard the cruise ship story. I love it. It's fantastic. But just a general question. I mean, if it's a Sunday night game and you're on a cruise ship, you're talking the fall, I mean, maybe postseason baseball, I don't know. But what was on the TV instead of the Giants Eagles?
It was nothing. It's like they had the DirecTV package on and they just left those channels on. And they had no interest in changing it to the game that was taking place, which shocks me because there were other people at the bar who had no interest in watching Giants-Eagles when both teams were good.
And this was a sports bar, correct?
It was a – I think
no.
So. I don't remember now. I kind
it wasn't
of
stop yourself.
This.
It wasn't a sports bar on a cruise ship. It was probably just a bar on
a
cruise ship.
No, I think it had a sports theme. I think it was a sporting kind of bar.
I think you're wrong.
I think I'm wrong. Thanks for the call, Ethan.
What was it? A super fan cruise?
What happened?
What kind of cruise was it?
I think it was just like one of the big cruise lines. I think it was a Royal Caribbean cruise line.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, you really think it was a sports bar on the cruise ship?
I wrote a very, very strong letter to them when I got back.
How often do you write letters? Because I mean, you wrote letters to the Giants too, didn't you?
When I was a kid, I used to write to Wellington Mara all the time. Yeah,
and he wrote you back
to every single one.
And doesn't he's still doing that, isn't he? Not obviously not Wellington.
He's passed on. So
no, I know not Wellington. John Mara still does that, right?
I think he responds, yes.
Yes, he does. That. He does.
To every single one?
Not to every single one, Dave. But to a good number of them.
He picks and chooses, yeah.
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 But obviously Wellington felt a connection with me, and he wrote me back all the time.
Look at this little psychopath. I better write him back.
He'll get naked if I don't write him back. Let me get this in the mail. Marge, get this postmarked immediately. But I have it all saved. Giants letterhead. It's very cool.
Well, of course you did. I mean, I told you the story, but I wrote letters to every single goal in the NHL. Ron Hextall was the only one to send me anything back. I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
And how great is that? When you're a little kid, I remember there was a player when I was a kid. I was with my cousin, and we were little. And he went up to this one player, and he was such a jerk. And I was like, how could you be a jerk to a little kid?
Some guys are like that, man.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's nothing worse than that, though, when you idolize an athlete and then you meet them and they're not nice at all.
That's why I don't want to know anything. I want to bury my head in the sand. I don't want to. People said, why don't you cover the Giants? Why don't you go into the locker room? I don't want to know anything.
Yeah, you're probably better off.
I think so.
I mean, your favorite player has some skeletons.
Hmm.
Quite a few. You try to accost in the bathroom.
Well, it's Lawrence Taylor, for God's sake.
It doesn't matter. He's at the urinal.
Kind of accost. I saw him and I got excited. It's not accosting.
It's a grown man screaming. If I was in the bathroom and at the urinal and some grown man starts screaming my name.
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor! And it was, I mean, the bathroom was jam-packed. Like you know, you're elbowing around, you're trying to get to the urinal, and I looked and I was like, and I you know, it's like
that's Lawrence Taylor!
I couldn't
help it.
That's
Lawrence Taylor!
I just started screaming. You know what? It's what makes me me. It's why you love me.
Very unique, yep.
Very unique.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love it. Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
Frenzy seconds away. Join host Nate Burleson and guests Justin Fields, Najee Harris, and Jamar Chase in the new progressive YouTube series Up All Night. Watch every episode exclusively on YouTube.com/ progressive. All right, this is the draft frenzy. I think we need to really tighten this thing up. Any, hey guys, love the show, big fan. Chris, thanks for the ring. Any of that? Immediate buzzer, and you get sent to the aliens. You are no longer allowed to pose a question here on the frenzy. You agree?
It's fair.
Hey, what's up? It's Jerry.
No. Hey, guys, love the show. Big fan. Been listening for a very long time. None of it. You got to get right to your question. I believe in the people. Let's see what the people have today to offer. Adam in Wayne. Adam, you're on the frenzy.
Being that the Giants can go a multitude of directions with their first-round selection, which player position would they have to take for you to be absolutely disgusted with the pick?
I hope they take a running back. Please
Stop
take
it.
A running back.
They're not taking a running back. Look, but
like Giants, that kind of party.
They can go if they took an offensive lineman, you wouldn't be upset. If they took a receiver, you wouldn't be upset. If they take a corner, you wouldn't be upset. And if they took a guy that could get to the quarterback, I don't think you'd be upset. I think they've put themselves in a position where the guy they like the best is who you'd feel comfortable with at 11 overall, right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, they need a whole lot, Dave. So, I mean, yeah, there isn't a position that they could take where I'd be disgusted at the Giants. But I think that they should prioritize doing everything that they can to support Daniel Jones properly. So I would lean toward offensive lineman and then wide receiver if they stay at 11.
Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, you're on the frenzy.
True or false, the single most important factor when it comes to winning a football game is the ability to keep your quarterback upright while you knock down the other team's quarterback.
True. I mean, that's what the game is about, and that's why those positions are prioritized. Right after quarterback, I mean, the highest paid position group is pass rusher. That's what it is. There's a reason for that. So that's what football comes down to. Being able to block up the protections and keep your quarterback clean, and being able to affect the other team's passer.
Let's go to Tom in Northport. Good morning, Tom. You're on the frenzy.
Will the Jets select someone at 23, or will they trade out of it?
I think they select someone at 23.
You think they say 23?
Yeah, I would say that. What do you think? I would say you take someone at 23. But they already have. I mean, they have the second pick in the second round, too.
Yeah, I'd like to see them take an offensive lineman at 23.
I think they could move up from 23
they
to
could move
take
up,
an offensive
yeah.
lineman. Yeah.
Let's go to Alex in Westchester. Good morning, Alex. You're next up on the frenzy.
When Joe Douglas came to New York, he said the number one thing he was going to address was protecting the quarterback. Currently, the Jets roster, we are sorting the same offensive line as week one is last year, which is one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. If he does not address the offensive line in this draft, is it time to stop giving Joe Douglas a pass and saying he knows what he's doing?
But he's going to address the offensive line in this draft. There's no way that the draft goes by and he doesn't address. Yes, I would agree with you. If we go through the draft and the Jets do not spend any real commodity on an offensive lineman, I think you have major problems here. There's no way that's the case, though.
Yeah, Connor McGovern and George Fant didn't work out, but Joe Douglas is going to come away from this draft with multiple offensive linemen.
100%. 800-919-3776. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you guys feel like the questions are long? Like, we don't need 40-second analysis of it. Just give us the question. Walk in, throw the question on us, walk out. Very quick, very concise. Tom in the car. Tom, you're on the frenzy.
Does Joe Douglas keep his reputation of Trader Joe over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see why not. I mean, they have so many draft picks. I don't know if he makes all the draft picks. Like Chris mentioned, I mean, you could move up from 23 if there's an offensive lineman you like. You could move. I mean, he's been agile in the past, so I don't see why that would change.
If there's a guy you love on the board, you go figure out a way to get him. I mean, you have flexibility, and you have flexibility well into next year's draft as well. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike on the Turnpike. Good morning, Mike.
Big Chris Canty. Super Bowl aside, what franchise do you like playing for best? Thanks for taking my call, guys.
New York Football Giants. Because I got the ring here, and I got paid here. So it has to be my favorite franchise.
Very well played. Guest on DCR, PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. Moving right along, Corey in Greenwich. Good morning, Corey.
Well, the Baltimore Ravens move up to get a wide receiver with their 27th pick and their 31st pick. To grab a wide receiver, maybe like where the Giants are.
They need a wide receiver bad.
I wouldn't rule out the Ravens trading for a veteran wide receiver during the draft.
Mm.
I would not rule that out.
That's the only way they can get one at this moment, it sounds like. They offered Juju Smith-Schuster more money, and he said no.
Yeah, he didn't want to go there. I don't know why you'd move up. I mean, because you probably have to move up to top 12, I would figure. Because once those first three are gone, there's no reason you would move up.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, you could. It depends on what's going on in front of you. I mean, if it's Bateman, if it's one of the wide receivers that you really like, and you feel like it go, you know, a pick or two ahead of you, then maybe
right,
you move
sure.
up.
Right, sure. Then you can just move up a little bit and get that done. Let's go to Albert in Elizabeth. Good morning, Albert.
Will Julio Jones get traded to the Tennessee Titans?
Starting to hear a lot of noise about Julio Jones getting moved, and their general manager came out, said people are calling for him, and they're listening to those phone calls. So would not be surprised if Julio Jones is moved at some point over the weekend.
That could affect my entire mock draft for Thursday. Oh, God.
Well, what are you thinking? You don't have Atlanta taking Kyle Pitts.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you nothing. Nothing. I'm not giving you a whiff of where
I don't like when you're secretive like this. I don't like it.
You know what? I'm competing against you. I'm not gonna tip my hand. Oh, I've got three twos. No, I'm not telling you about my hand. Let's go to Trevor in Manhattan. Good morning, Trevor.
Hey guys. If Trevor Lawrence is the first one off the board, who's the next quarterback to go, and then who's the last quarterback to go? Draft.
Come on. First of all, we have no idea who that's a terrible question. Zach Wilson will be the next one, and I have no idea who's going to be the last one. Right? You agree we can move on here?
Yeah, I think he was talking about quarterbacks in the first round. I think that's what he was talking about. But,
okay. Yeah. I don't know. The kid from Texas A&M, I guess, could be the last quarterback in the first round.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brad in Hillsboro. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning. Do the Broncos keep Drew Lock, or do they trade up to get another quarterback?
I think they could do both. They said they want competition for Drew Lock, so I mean, they could draft a quarterback and keep Drew Lock.
But
they need another quarterback.
Do you have to move up?
The Broncos trading for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, that'd be a nice addition as well. But do you need to move up? I mean, if Mac Jones goes three, there's a chance that Lance or Fields could be there at nine. No.
No, but I mean, there's a chance. But you got Carolina sitting right in front of you, so you could move up to seven. Just to get ahead of Carolina.
Yeah, you might. I mean, if there's a quarterback that you love, if you could get one of those quarterbacks, and just by moving up to seven, I think you have to do that if you're the Broncos. They've been in the market for a quarterback for a very long time, by the way. All right, well done. Blow it dead, Santy. Everyone did a very nice job.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
A host on 98.7 ESPN. He's got a big draft special tomorrow from 10 to noon. That, of course, is Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. How's it going?
We're doing great. Now, I'd like to tell everybody about, kind of get in depth a little bit about the draft special, if you're okay with that for a moment.
Absolutely.
Well, tomorrow, Mike Tenenbaum is going to be hosting an exclusive special presented by 98.7 and the 33rd team, focusing on the Jets and Giants 2021 NFL draft. The show is going to air from 10 a.m. to noon and will feature Mike's expert analysis as a longtime executive in the NFL, highlighting what it takes to run a draft for a franchise. Mike will be joined by Ernie Accorsi, Rex Ryan, Eric Mangini, Ben McAdoo, and Mark Sanchez, plus a special GM's roundtable featuring Joe Banner and Ray Farmer, focusing in on what Gangrene and Big Blue should be doing throughout the 2021 draft to get their franchises back on track. That's tomorrow from 10 a.m. to noon on 98.7 ESPN. I'm very excited for this draft special, and I'm going to listen to the entirety of it. Mike, there's a lot for us to get into today. This is going to be the last time we talk to you prior to the draft. We've already requested you for Friday and a little recap. So when you're a GM, like you're Ernie, of course, you're Dave Gettleman, I wish, running this draft. Do you have it down to like two or three guys now, or do you really have to see how the entirety of the first round plays and the first 10 picks go?
Yeah, if I'm sitting there as Dave, absolutely. I have two or three guys that I know who we're taking, in what order. I know which player or two possibly I would trade up to within reason. I know which team. I have a very good idea about 90% of what's going to cost. I also know, like, trading back, I know two or three teams have called me more than once that they want to come up to 11. We've had at least a conversation about what compensation looks like. And, you know, Dave, just again, based on firsthand experience, I was saying in the Miami Dolphin draft room my first year there, and we're ready to go. We do the same exercise, and the number one player on our board was Laremy Tunsil. And obviously something had happened, and we got him at 13 that year. So you could prepare, but one of the many things we love about Thursday night is it's going to be this incredible four-hour drama that really nobody knows how it's going to play out.
Mike, how much do you believe Dave Gettleman when, you know, his track record is he doesn't trade back in the first round. That's not something that he does. And he was actually, I mean, he said a couple different times, I've tried, it hasn't worked out, I don't want to get fleeced. I mean, how much stock do you take in that? I mean, because there are plenty of teams that do it yearly, trade back for more value.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Brick, you know, the irony is, like, the poor guy, this is the one year it's probably going to be hard to trade back in the first round because you're sitting there, you're sandwiched between division rivals, and when you trade back, you really have to feel comfortable. If you move back three spots, you can't move back with two players in mind. You have to move back with three players in mind because you have to assume worst-case scenario. And I'm just telling you, there would be nothing worse than if they would trade back three spots and then Philadelphia at 12 takes the player they wanted. And I think, in my opinion, guys, when you look at Dallas, the New York Giants, and the Philadelphia Eagles, all three teams have very similar needs. So I just think it would be a tough year for that to happen.
Mike, since we're talking about trading back, a report surfaced yesterday about the Falcons wanting to trade back out of four. In your opinion, who's the team that's likely to want to trade into the top five?
You know, Chris, for me, it's going to be about the quarterbacks. I think five going to the top eight. And when you think what's a realistic trade partner, I still think Carolina's in the mix despite trading for Sam Darnold at eight. And I certainly think Denver at nine. You have a new GM in George Payton. Maybe they want to go from nine to four, and maybe it's for, again, Trey Lance. It's for possibly Justin Fields from Ohio State. It all depends on who San Francisco doesn't take. But if I'm Atlanta and I could stay in the top 10 and possibly pick up another first-round pick, I think that's really good business. I don't think we'll see a big, big premium for Kyle Pitts despite what he should be able to do as a pro because he is a tight end. I think anybody that comes up into that top five, Chris, would be for a quarterback.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. There's a couple of spots that I think really will navigate where we're going to go in the first round. That is 3 and 6, Mike. I think as far as the Dolphins are concerned, do they take the receiver that the Giants might want at 11? Because I think there's a good chance if Devontae Smith doesn't go 6 to Miami, he could drop 11 to the Giants. So that's one of the chips that I think needs to fall or not fall for the Giants. And then the other one that I think really kind of sets the entire draft up is 3. What do the Niners do? Do they take Mac Jones or do they take one of the other quarterbacks?
I think that's right. And I agree with your analysis. I think clearly when Miami made that second of their two trades, you know, they paid a pretty rich premium to go from 12 to 6. They have a future one. To me, it's clearly for an impact skill player to help Tua Tagovailoa's development. I still think San Francisco at 3 is taking Mac Jones. I said from the moment they made that trade, and nothing's dissuaded me. I think for the Giants, I know you're saying they need a skill player. I see it differently. I think they need a pass rusher or another corner despite getting a Dory Jackson. I think they have some other young skill players. I'm a big Darius Slayton fan. You know, Evan Ingram, we call him a tight end, but to me he's a receiver, and obviously they just signed Kenny Galladay. So, and here's the other interesting thing about receiver guys. Last year, Justin Jefferson was the fifth receiver taken, and he was the best. Now, clearly, it's only first year, but the point being, this is a draft that if we're speaking on Friday morning and the Giants don't get a receiver on Thursday night, I think they could get a really good one in the second round.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here in the show. Mike, let me ask you, so you're convinced that Mac Jones is going 3 to San Francisco. If he doesn't, let's just say he doesn't go 3 to San Francisco, they decide, you know, they're going to go with Trey Lance. Where does Mac Jones end up?
Yeah, I think 8 is the absolute floor for him. And I was down in Mobile. I broadcasted the game for the practices for ESPN and just watching the body language between Matt Rhule, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and Mac Jones all week. I was absolutely convinced leaving Mobile, that's who their guy. Now, with that said, I don't even think he's going to make it to 8, but if for whatever reason San Francisco doesn't take him, I think that's his floor.
Mike, does Julio Jones get traded at some point during the draft?
I don't think so, Chris. And I kind of chuckled, to be candid. And hopefully these are some of the things we'll be getting into tomorrow. But I think those rumors kind of just come out of nowhere when Atlanta is trying to tell people that, hey, we would consider it. But that's a deal that's really complex through the salary cap ramifications. That's really a trade better after June 1st. So I think we'll see a couple other big names kind of floated out there. But just given everyone's respective cap situation, that would really surprise me.
Mike,
so who are some of the Mike? So who are some of the veteran players that you do think could potentially be moved during the draft?
Well, you know, it really depends on what happens. You know, if there's a veteran player that, you know, gets, if there's a young player that gets drafted that could start, you know, we'll see. Like, for example, like, I'm not saying this can happen, but let's say the Saints drafted a quarterback at the bottom of the first round. Could then they go trade Taysom Hill to the Bears? It would be a situation like that. I think the Bears still need a quarterback, and I think if one of these other teams takes a frontline guy, could Jimmy Garoppolo go to Chicago? Like, those are the dots that I'm trying to connect once we see some of these initial draft choices get made.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. He's got the big draft special coming up tomorrow morning at 10 to noon right here on 98.7. We know the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson, too. That's a foregone conclusion. What do you think we see from the Jets with the 23rd overall and then the second pick in the second round on Friday?
Dave, I hope it's offensive line, and then take another offensive lineman. You know, when I had the good fortune of running the Jets draft, you know, we did that multiple times, and then we went out and signed players like Alan Faneca and Damian Woody. And that was the very foundation to all the successful teams we had. And Zach Wilson, if there's one thing that's going to keep Joe Douglas and Coach Saleh up at night, is his durability. He's been hurt a couple times. He's not a big man. When you see him, you'll know exactly what I mean. They have a great left tackle, Mekhi Becton. They need other pieces. They've tried to do that. There's a lot of question marks. George Fant, for example. So if you could come out of this with another tackle, and I think there'll be a couple at the bottom of the first round, someone like Sam Cosmi from University of Texas to note one. But they need a couple more meaningful offensive linemen to put Zach Wilson the best chance to be successful.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, I thought it was interesting. Dave, so we're going to do we're each going to do our mock drafts on Thursday, and Dave's trying to throw smoke everywhere. He won't tell me who he's picking. He wants
to Mike, why would I tell him? I'm taking it seriously. Why would I tell him who I'm taking when this is a competitive mock draft that we're putting forward?
So, you know me, Mike.
What are the stakes?
Dave's going to have to release the naked video if he loses.
I'm not releasing the naked video.
We all want to see it. He's being selfish with it. That's fine. But, Mike, you know me. I got my X2 going. I'm all hyped up. I'm 5.0, 6.0, 7.0. But Dave mentioned... He actually mentioned Devontae Smith going 6 to Miami. I've seen a lot of mock drafts. Jamar Chase, maybe the best wide receiver in the draft, him going 6. How much stock as a GM would you put in to the relationship, like the fact that Tua played with Devontae Smith, or, you know, Joe Burrow, you know, petitioning the Bengals to say, hey, get me back with Jamar Chase. Do you think about that stuff when you're making these picks or no?
A little bit. Like, I think it's a little bit of a tiebreaker. And I have very strong mixed feelings on Devontae Smith. I've seen him in person. You can't cover him. The guy is an unbelievable route runner. He does remind me of Marvin Harrison, a guy that we really struggled defending at the Jets for years, who was a very slight build guy and just ran 3-4 routes and was impossible to cover. But then you think about, like, we're going to be playing 17 regular season games and the rigors of a 17-game season, and you look at him, and over time, like, is he going to be able to withstand at 166 pounds the week in, week out NFL game? And that's why, if all things were equal, I would take Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle over him, despite the fact that he had an incredible season.
Mike, I don't know if you could call anybody that gets picked in the first round a sleeper, but who's the guy that's not really getting a whole lot of pub, a whole lot of hype, that's probably going to be wearing a gold jacket at the end of his career that gets drafted on Thursday?
I don't think it'll be a gold jacket, but like, the more I watch Davis Mills, if he's healthy and he has some real knee issues, I think he could be a frontline winning starting quarterback. And I keep going back to this notion, Chris, in my opinion, I call it the group of four, but there's this group of four of Washington, Pittsburgh, Chicago, New England. Those four teams all need a quarterback for the future. And candidly, we could say the group of five and put Tampa into that mix in terms of over the next year or so, those five teams need a good young quarterback. And, you know, we saw it with Lamar Jackson a couple of years ago, where Ozzie Newsome made an incredible trade. Traded back up to 32, got Lamar Jackson. Lamar turned out to be the league MVP. And I don't know which one of those other five go before him that Davis Mills is going to beat out, but if he's healthy, and that is a big if because he does have knee injuries, if you watch Davis Mills plays, he is a very, very talented quarterback.
Mike, listen, we're excited for you for tomorrow's show. Firstly, do you feel that you'll be energized and peppy and ready to do the show at 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, Dave, I appreciate you asking. Absolutely, I take X2 every day. I already took it this morning. I'll have it tomorrow. And in all seriousness, I really appreciate the opportunity that Ryan, Tim, Ty have given us.
Don't thank Ty. Don't do that.
Why can't
you
thank Ty?
Don't thank Ty. You can thank Tim and Ryan. Don't thank Ty. Ty's a bad guy.
Do you want Rick to hop on as a guest, as an NFL insider, by the way?
You guys can come on anytime. You know, we got 2 hours to try to, you know, have some fun, educate people, bring them behind a curtain. I got to tell you, I've talked to each guest, like Mark Sanchez, guys, and I'm totally biased when I say this because I drafted him and I love him, but he's a really good analyst. Like, he is really, really good. He's worked really hard at it. He's just not a former, you know, quarterback that's rolling out there. Like, he has put the time in, and I think he's going to have a lot of interesting things to say, not only tomorrow, but, you know, well into the future, and really excited that he's going to join us amongst all the other guys.
You have a laundry list of guys. You say you'd take Rick, but you have Ernie Accorsi, Rex Ryan, Eric Mangini, Ben McAdoo, Mark Sanchez, Joe Banner, Ray Farmer. So Rick has volunteered. This is very kind of him. He said he'll screen calls or get coffee or whatever you're looking for during the show tomorrow.
I just don't know, you know, earlier, you know, Chris was asking about trading Julio Jones and salary cap ramifications. I just don't know if we could afford Rick on the salary cap budget for tomorrow's special.
I'm doing this for free anyway, point. Mike. I could be a cap analyst, whatever you need. Just so you know, too, you got me on the chai tea lattes. Every time I order one, I pour out, before I take a sip, I pour out a little bit for you. Because I'm thinking about you when I'm drinking
that,
it.
So.
Yeah. This is how much I love you.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. If we can make you fit under our budget for tomorrow, we take, you know, anytime we could be opportunistic and add more talent, why not?
Now, are you, be honest with me, is this the first show that you've run point on and hosted by yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm
are you anxious at all?
Preparation. I would say I'm not nervous, but I am a little anxious. Like, I want it to go airtight. I want it to be excellent. I want to exceed expectations. It's like running a draft. You know, when you give it an opportunity in life, you want to crush it. So, you know, we've put a lot of time and effort into it, and we're going to let it rip tomorrow, and hopefully, we exceed expectations.
We know about your letting it rips, and we're very concerned with phraseology
Wow.
We know how you play.
They had 35 runs, 33 passes.
You set yourself up for that one. Mike, you do great. I can't wait to listen to it. If you want Rick on as a guest, he's willing to come on. Chris, anybody, any advice you need, any help you need, we are here for you. Do great. Kill it tomorrow.
I really appreciate it, guys. I'm looking forward to being back on Friday. And I'm telling you, like, there will be something that happens Thursday night that the Forest will be like, we had no idea that was coming. When you talk to teams right now, there's just not enough information because of, you know, the unusual year with the pandemic. So Thursday night should be really interesting.
All right. Great stuff. We'll talk to you. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Excellent.
You're the worst.
Why?
You are the worst.
Why?
Because, I mean, you pump them up. You pump them up.
Well,
I'm talking about
the
show, how great it's going to be.
He's the one that said let it
rip.
Got
him back on. We got him back doing double duty. He's coming back on Friday. And you hit him with the fart stuff.
He's the one. If he didn't use the phraseology, let it rip, don't you feel like I had to?
You didn't have to. But you decided that you wanted to walk through that door. Well, I'm not going to say he didn't crack it, but you decided that you wanted to bust it open.
Yeah, you didn't even walk through it. You went right through the wall.
But knowing you the way I do, if he
says
that,
like the Kool-Aid guy.
If he says that and I say nothing, we say goodbye, Mike. Thanks for joining us. And you know what I hear from Rick immediately? Why did you let that line go without saying it? That was a perfect opportunity. If you had any guts and chutzpah, you would have said something there. So now I say it, and now I'm a bad guy. You are exactly Monday morning quarterback. Whatever I do, it's the wrong thing with you.
You don't think that I heard what he said and I could have reacted to it?
And
or
I
like
did.
The other day when we were doing an interview and you said, use the word bait. Like, you know exactly what's going through my mind. I just chose in that moment, you know what? I'm not gonna barge through that door.
Every ounce of willpower that you have not to go.
I'm not gonna run through that wall.
You probably have to start biting your lip, like, no, don't do it.
I am not going to run through that wall and say, oh, yeah. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. That's exactly what you just did for my
take. Maybe we've worked together for so long that you are now rubbing off on me and I have become that guy.
So you just don't want to take any accountability, huh, Dave?
No,
first
I get it.
First it's Mike Tannenbaum's fault. Now it's Rick DiPietro's fault. Like, it can't be on you, huh?
I'll own it. I did it. Okay. That's fine. I'll do it again. Have him come back on and say, we're going to let it rip and I'll do it again.
They had 35 runs, 33 passes.
That's flatulence.
By the way, why is he thanking Ty, too, by the way? What did Ty do? Nothing.
Do you think Ryan and Tim are like, wait a minute, I'm the GM of the station, I'm the PD of the station, and he's also including Ty in that?
Well, is Ty a part of the production for them all?
I believe he is, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's probably why he would be thanking him, right?
Yeah, I'm going to thank Tim, Ryan, and Taekwondo, who wears karate slippers into the studio.
So disrespectful to Ty.
Bully.
I don't know why you disparage Ty. What do you have against that's Ty? What did Ty do to you?
That's a good new nickname. Admit that. I just came up with it. That's a good new nickname.
Honestly, it's great. It's not good. It's great. I think it's mean, but it's very funny.
Y'all are wrong, man.
Let's go to they showed up in karate shoes and y'all are wrong. Taekwondo. That's clever. That's clever. Ira, Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you? Hey, listen, tell Mike if he needs any fill-ins and Rick wants to back out, I'll be more than happy to make an appearance. But
all right, I never pull out. You know that.
And there we go.
Well, you never know. You never know.
Ira, just walk right through it, Ira. Come on.
So real quickly, listen, we know what to do in number two. I'll tell you the truth. I think the Jets are going to make 3 first-round picks. I think I agree with Mike T's strategy. I think quality is better than quantity. And I think if Joe Douglas has an opportunity and the board plays itself out, I think they'll make 3 first-round picks. And in no particular order, they just need everything. So I'll go offensive lineman, cornerback, and linebacker with the 3 picks after Zach Wilson.
You need offensive linemen. I mean, you heard it. You saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was a perfect example of it. Best quarterback in the league is not even a question, and his offensive line stunk, and Tampa took it to him. It was night and day. Tampa's offensive line was intact.
Tampa's going to be good again. Kansas City did a nice job, by the way, huh?
Yeah, they did.
My God.
Yeah, they did.
Big-time young left.
I mean, they're going to get, 24? What's his name? They're going to get, and they'll get Tardif back, too.
Yep.
And they got, they got Kyle Long as well.
They did. They added him.
Yeah.
And Toomey.
They're going to be good. They're going to be really good. 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. Don't play it. On Thursday, May 6th, we're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in all of baseball, featuring A-Rod, Matt Vasgersian, Buster Olney, and it's all hosted by our very own Don LaGreca. An exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball. We'll give away some great prizes as well. To score your VIP access, be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. Again, be the first caller right now, 888-987-3776. Clubhouse Confidential presented by PC Richard & Son and 98.7 ESPN. Interesting little article just sent to me by our producer, RJ Santillo. Charles Oakley had a couple things to say. Would you like to hear? We're not going to play it, but I'll read you some of the quotes of what Oakley had to say. He said, I think Randall's a better version of Zion Williamson to me, he said on Sirius XM Radio, because he can do more. Zion is just hype in the league, which I do not agree with. But in the playoffs, he'll be just like the Greek Freak. They'll have the wall for you. First of all, Zion Williamson, you got to get to the playoffs. So I don't know why he's taking shots at Zion. But I think an important piece of that quote as well is that Randall is a better version of Zion to him.
Well, look, Randall can shoot better than Zion. He's not the physical specimen than Zion. Zion's 20 years old.
Well, Zion can't shoot at all.
Well, he doesn't have to. He gets to the rim whenever he wants. I get what he's saying about the wall. But I think they need to do a better job with both of those guys. I think Giannis, they need to do a better job. And with Zion, they need to do a better job. Like, I don't need Zion with the ball at the three-point line, like getting ready to charge downhill. Because you saw what they do to Giannis in the playoffs.
Yep. Different defense for him.
Listen, I'll tell you right now. If I'm New Orleans, I'll take Zion turning into the Greek Freak. Is that even a question?
Of course you would. And you know what he says, that Randall is better? If you're the Knicks and you could get Zion for Julius Randall, you would do that trade in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't know. We're trying to... We're trying, We want Zion to decide he wants to be a Nick. We don't need to be taking shots at Zion right now.
Yeah, well, that's Charles Oakley. More from Oakley. I said last year the Knicks didn't have a superstar. Now they have a superstar. He says, congratulations. He's left-handed, and they can't stop him because these guys don't want to stand in front of him. Once you make one move, he can get to the rim every single time. So very complimentary of Julius Randle.
How could you not be? Seeing the difference that he had from last year to this year and how this team has gotten turned around. Like, you got to give him his flowers, man. Julius Randle is a baller. Like, he's an all-star, and he should be an all-NBA performer after the season that he's had.
We'll get more into the comments tomorrow morning from one Charles Oakley, but right now, it's Rule 76. No, it's not. It's three stars. I'm tricking you. Take it, DiPietro.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Number three, I'm going to give you guys a little credence to that whole thing with social media and weird ads and Alexa and brain implants and everything that you want. So I just happened upon an article this morning. It says Apple's following through on a pledge to crack down on Facebook and any other Snoopy ads that shadow people to help sell more advertising. The new privacy feature called app tracking frequency. Well, it just gives credence to what you're saying. Big Brother's always listening. Alexa, whatever you want to say. So, you know, cover the phones and be careful with what you say out there, boys.
Terrifying.
Number two.
Number two is going to be the football frenzy. Well executed, well thought out. Welcome back. I guess we'll do another one tomorrow. Is that officially happening?
I think the rest of the week. I think we do on Wednesday.
It's up to Dave. He runs point.
Dave does everything, and that actually brings me to
number one.
I'm actually going to get, and it was going to be star number three, but you guys accelerated. You made it worse and worse. It's going to be Ty Butler. Listen, I don't appreciate how you guys were attacking my guy Ty. I know he put in a ton of work on this draft show, and he's really proud of it. He was really stressed this weekend doing what needed to be done to make sure this thing is ready. And I don't appreciate not only how you're disparaging Ty, but the producers on this radio station.
I'm so confused.
People
what
really
is happening?
Bust their tails on this.
Who gets the number one star?
My guy, Ty Butler.
So we disparage him, and now he leaps up to the number one star?
That's how it goes. That's
very interesting analysis from you. Very interesting analysis. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, blanket champion. It's DPH, Kathy Rotherberg, and
everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.